He's. We good? Okay. We're really excited about this year and things that God has planned for us. We have, the church was 7 years old on June 7th of 2022. We were 7 years old. And we invested a lot of time in the church focusing on intimacy with God. That was a real foundation. We had Eric Gilmore come into the church early on. One of our first guest speakers was Eric Gilmore, which he's all about intimacy with God. We've invested a lot of time talking about identity in Christ and who we are in Christ. Those have been things we've really focused on. And we really feel like this year, it's much more about empowerment. It's much more about us being out, within the church body, walking in the fullness of what God has, or growing into the fullness of what God has for us, as well as outside the four walls as well. So, and even if you think about our byline, right, our byline is encounter Christ, right? You encounter him first, know Christ, you have to come to know him, but then it's live Christ, right? We're supposed to live who he died to make us in the fullness of that. So that's going to be a focus for this year. And I'm going to talk a lot more about that on Vision Sunday. But so today, and for the next 3 weeks leading up to Vision Sunday, I'm going to talk about the spiritual gifts. I really felt like the Lord wanted us to just take some time to look at that, because these are things that every believer is empowered to walk in as the Holy Spirit leads. Okay, so it's not, no one possesses a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit has them, and he distributes them as he wills. And if you're a born-again believer, you're eligible for him to operate through you. But you need to know, first of all, become familiar with his voice, obviously. I mean, this is why you have an intimate, this is one of the reasons you have an intimate relationship with the Lord. Not just so you can, get his hugs in your private space and read the word and have him speak to you. But because when you have an intimate relationship with him, you can then represent him outside the four walls. You can hear him not just for yourself, but for other people. But to understand, so it's important though to understand what the spiritual gifts are that God has for us to operate in, to be familiar with them so that you can recognize them when the Holy Spirit's ministering, wanting to minister through you. So first of all, what are the spiritual gifts? Or what does it mean, spiritual gifts? So we are born again. The word for spiritual gifts is charisma. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but you can see that in there it contains the word charis, which is grace. Okay, and everything we have from God is by grace. Okay, none of us earned salvation. None of us was like good enough to get the gift of salvation. And it's the same thing with the gifts. Like we're free of death. We're free of sin. We've been born again. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, all by an act of his grace. It's nothing we deserve. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to the spiritual gifts that God bestows upon us. It's all an act of his grace. And they're almost like we're in an ocean of grace, and it's like little droplets of his supernatural ability breaking out of into our world to operate. So it's when the gifts are operating, it's nothing that you in the natural could do, conjure up, support. None of it is natural. It's all supernatural. And it all comes from God through the Holy Spirit. And again, it operates through each person as he wills. Okay, as he wills. So that's what we're gonna talk about that over the next few weeks. So I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And remember, Paul, the Corinthian church was a pretty carnal church. They were, they had, worshipped idols like other Gentile nations. And Paul had to send several letters to them, trying to kind of bring them back into line, because they would get out of line. They were using communion as a love feast. Like they were ungodly, right? They just didn't understand. They had stepped into the kingdom of God, but their minds weren't renewed. They were kind of babes. And so they weren't operating in the fullness. So he does a lot of instructing in 1 and 2 Corinthians. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're starting in verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." If you look in the New King James and the King James Version, the word gifts is italicized. And what that means is it's not in the original. It means that the translators added it to help you understand better what the verse is saying. So a almost better translation of that would be, "Now concerning spiritualities, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Because he's trying to explain to them, how they now are going to operate as new creations in Christ and what they have access to. And so he doesn't want them to be ignorant. This word spiritualities means ethereal. It means supernatural. It always connotes the idea of invisibility and of power. This word does not occur at all in the Old Testament or in the Gospels. It's a word that was used after Pentecost. So it's an after Pentecost word. It's talking about, it can refer to the angelic hosts. It's things that have their origin with God and which therefore are in harmony with his character. It's also appointed activities in the churches are the spiritualities that operate. It's all that is produced and maintained among men by the operation of the Spirit of God is spiritual. The spiritual man is one who walks by the Spirit, who himself manifests the fruit of the Spirit in his own ways. So it's talking about the spiritual reality, again, that we have access to now that we are children of God, okay? And he's saying, of these spiritualities, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to not know what you have access to. He goes to verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. These dumb idols, the dumb means they can't speak, right? You were carried away by inanimate objects. You were being led around basically by the demonics through inanimate objects that can't even speak. But now you have access to the living God, and there's spiritualities that you have access to that want to operate through you within the church body and outside the church body, okay? Because of who you now are. He says in verse 3, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. So he's trying to help them discern what's going on in the people that are around him, around them. And this word accursed actually means it means alienated from God without hope of being redeemed. So he's saying, listen, no one speaking by the Spirit of God will cause Jesus alienated from God and unredeemable. Okay, they need to clarify when they're listening to people speak what people are saying. No one who's saying that is by the Spirit of God. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Because who he is as King and Lord of Lords is revealed to you through the Holy Spirit. Just like he told Peter, when he asked Peter, you know, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Son of God. No one, like the Holy flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. The Holy Spirit revealed that to you. Okay, so he's clarifying for them as they're in the midst of a lot of different voices in the area. Like, this is how you're going to clarify what's the Holy Spirit, what's not the Holy Spirit, what's God and what's not God. And even nowadays, right, the whole dividing line comes down to what do you say about Jesus? People can talk about God all they want, right? But I want to know where you stand when it comes to Jesus. Because that makes the division. That's where the rubber meets the road. Where do you stand when it comes to Jesus? Okay, so let's go to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. This word diversities, I don't know why they translated it different ways, but it all means the same thing. It just means variety. There's a variety of gifts. So what are these gifts? They're a spiritual endowment, miraculous faculty. It's a favor which one receives without any merit or grace. And these endowments upon the believers operate by the Holy Spirit in the church. So every single person here, if you're born again, if you know the Lord, you have access to these spiritual endowments, okay? But they operate by this Holy Spirit. He's the one who distributes them. Verse 5. There are differences, again, varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. This word ministries is talking about like acts of compassion and mercy and benevolence. One of the things that marked in the Gentile world early on, one of the things that marked Christian believers was that they would be benevolent. They would be merciful. They would set up kind of like, I mean, Mother Teresa would be like a real real extreme of that, but they would set up charitable organizations and do charitable works. And that was a mark to the Gentiles of Christians. Unfortunately, what we've done is we've given that over to our government. But that really is supposed to be an operation of the church, the charitable works, the caring for people, the benevolence. And so he's saying, listen, there's a wide, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, when you get transformed, when you get changed, there's a different way you're going to operate. You're going to operate by gifts, these gifts that operate, these spiritual endowments. You're also going to like have a heart for different ministries and compassion and benevolence, right? Because you've been changed. You have the heart of the Father now. And he says, those things happen, but it's the same Lord, okay, who's inspiring all this. Then he goes, there are diversities, again, a variety of activities. Now, there's a bunch of different actions. Now that we are children of God, there's a bunch of different activities that happen, but it's the same God who works all in all. So it's still the same Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who manifests in these different ways, different activities, different giftings, different ministries. But we need to know it's all in unity. It's all from Him. He's the one who distributes these for His purposes. Why? Because we're here for His glory, right? We're here for His glory. It says, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This word manifestation just means bestowment. So the Holy Spirit bestows this on different people, right? For what? And he distributes it what? To each one. To each one. It's not just the person who's behind the pulpit. It's not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It's not the one who gives the most money to the church. It's not the one who prays the most. It's not the one who intercedes the most. It's whoever the Lord, the Holy Spirit wants to work through at that time. That's who's going to get it. And it's not a gift that you get and you hold on to. It's you're just aware of it, and He just operates, and you're sensitive to it, and He operates as He wants to throughout your day. This is why we need to live a yielded life to Christ, because He wants to operate throughout the day. And if we don't understand that, we won't be yielded to Him in the way He wants to operate. But it's for each person, right? For the profit, for the benefit, for the unity of all. So there's different giftings that will operate in different people, like we're here within our congregation. This is why I tell people, it's not to make you feel guilty, but if you're called to this church body and you don't come, we're missing a thumb or a finger or whatever, or a toe, you know, whatever part you play, right? We're missing that day. Not to make you feel guilty, I want you to know you're significant, right? So the Holy Spirit will operate within the church body through various people for the unity of all, for the benefit of all, to bring us all into the fullness of Christ. But also those same giftings will operate in us outside of the world to testify to who He is, okay? And each one of you has a part to play in this, each one. We're all a part. We'll go to Hebrews 2, verse 4 real quick, because this is where he talks about it again. God, he's testifying, the writer of Hebrews is talking to the Jewish people, trying to convince them not to give up their faith. And he's saying, you know, just like you couldn't give up things, you know, with Moses, you didn't want to reject Moses, so you don't want to reject Christ. And he says in Hebrews 2, 4, God bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. Okay? Again, it's according to the Holy Spirit's will. So I want to talk about what these gifts are not first before we move forward. When God created you, when He designed you, He designed you with a particular purpose, and He wired you for certain things, right? And He gave you gifts or abilities or innate desires that will lead you to fulfill all you are in Him. And so when we're born, we're wired that way already, okay? Like, and you can especially see this in a person who is gifted in art, for example. Okay, that's not my gifting. But you can see someone who has a gift for art, right? It just flows out of them. Now, the thing is, the gift and callings of God are without repentance. So therefore, someone who's gotten a gift, say, of music, they cannot come to Christ and still use that gift, because it was given to them. Now, I will say, you can use it, but the devil's taking advantage of it And just like anything in the kingdom of darkness, it can lead to total destruction. But you take that same gifting and you become born again and you harness it into God's purposes for your life, and now you're running, right? Now you can fulfill your purpose. So those gifts that God gives us are innate. I can remember seeing a video once of a man, a scientist. These were some creation videos that I was watching. And he was with the host, and they were walking through the woods, and he's like looking through like the rocks and the different strata, and he's digging through the dirt, and he's showing the organisms that are there, and he's like so excited, and he's so passionate because he's talking about creation. He loves the Lord, and he has a science mindset, and he's just showing how nature proves that God created everything. And I was watching him, and you could see the passion in him. And I thought to myself, he's as excited about talking about science as I am about studying and teaching the word. Like, I could just see, like, he was doing what he was born to do. And I just, to me, that was so refreshing, because you just realize that God makes each one of us so differently for his purposes. You know, you can be a scientist and still be working for the kingdom of God, demonstrating the validity of the Bible. You can be a computer person and still be able to work for the kingdom of God. Like, your passions, the things that you love to do, the things that come natural for you, right, are part of the design. And just because it's not behind a pulpit or doing a YouTube teaching doesn't mean it's not God, right? It is God for his purposes. You can be designed for medicine, and that's because he wants you in the medical community to testify to who he is, right? So it's you need to understand the way you've wired him, that those are gifts that are yours, that he wired into you, that he created you with for the purposes he has for you, okay? So that's not what we're talking about today, because the giftings we're talking about today, anybody can operate in, any believer can operate in, and they will move away, they'll move around as God wills. Okay, So your natural gifts are innate, but these other gifts are completely dependent on the Holy Spirit, and they enable what is humanly impossible. They enable what is humanly impossible. You can grow in their use as you become, for example, some of them, like, say, word of knowledge. We'll talk about that a little bit. As you use the gift, you can become better at it. You can become, because you can be better able to hear, okay? You get better able to operate in it. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5 for the purposes of why do we have these gifts? And this is Paul talking, and he's talking to the Corinthian church. He says, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, there's power in preaching the gospel, and there's people who come to Christ just by hearing the gospel. And there's also people who come to Christ because the supernatural power of God has been manifested. So Paul operated in these gifts. And this is one of the ways he was saying, listen, I didn't sit down and have a conversation with you and convince you to accept Christ. You saw the supernatural power of God operate through me that is beyond my any human ability. And that's why you came to Christ. I mean, even for me and for Randy and I, you know, why am I here? Because I was sick and Jesus healed me. I mean, I had heard the gospel, but I was familiar with Christianity, but it was the healing that turned our lives around and we came to Christ. It's the same thing. Like, we can operate. There's some people that'll come through the power of the preaching of the gospel, and there's power in it. And yet there's other ways that God, the Holy Spirit, will get to people, and it's through supernatural gifts that he gives to people to operate in and for his purposes. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. So what are the gifts? There's 9 of them. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith. Now, this faith we're talking about, everybody has the measure of faith. This is a supernatural faith that comes upon you through the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, when this faith comes upon you, no one can convince you of anything else. Like, it is a faith that is just steadfast. It says, to another, gifts of healings. Now, we all have the ability to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover because we're disciples. And yet there are some people who the gifts of healing will operate through by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues. This isn't talking about your personal prayer language. It's talking about like a message that comes forth in a church service. A lot of times, this is something that Giselle will operate in, you know, different a tongue and then an interpretation of a tongue. Interpretation of the tongue. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as the Holy Spirit wills. Amen? It says he does. So there's nine gifts. They're divided into three different categories, which is really more of a man-made thing than a God thing, I think, but it does help to divide them this way. However, even in reading different books, people divide different ones into different categories. So this is not in any way a hard and fast rule. Two books that are good are, first of all, The Spiritual Gifts Handbook by Randy Clark. This has a lot of really good information in it. And then the Translating God books that we're going to be using for the class that we're starting next week, it talks about some of these gifts in here. So those are books you can look at if you want to. But even in those, they had differences in the way they divided them up. So for this purpose, we'll go with this one division. But again, it's not hard and fast. So gifts of revelation, which means it's God supernaturally revealing something to you. People put the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discernment of spirits into that category. Some people put prophecy into that category. The power gifts, this is when the supernatural power of God breaks in. And those are the gifts of faith, healings, and working of miracles. And then the speech gifts are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation on tongues. But even all these gifts, like, they work in conjunction with one another. So it's not, they're not isolated. And you'll see that as we go through here. Okay, so I'm going to look at the revelation gifts today. And then next week, we'll go through the other two categories. And then I'm going to talk more about how Jesus operated in these. And also want to give you some history, because these gifts were very prevalent in the early church. Very, very, very prevalent. Like, they, even the Catholic Church, like, they, every believer expected to walk in all this stuff. It was just a part of being a Christian. We were talked out of it through denominationalism and religion. But in the early church, this was just a given fact that everybody would operate in these different gifts at different times. It was just like we get together and worship. Like, it was just expected. And we were talked out of it, and now God's bringing it back. Amen? And he has been. And it's always been there, but it's just been behind the scenes. Anyway, so word of wisdom is in 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom. This is not natural wisdom. It's actually, it says it's logos wisdom. So it's wisdom that comes, it's God's wisdom. So this kind of wisdom will take you, it'll, when you're in a situation, it's kind of situational, and it'll show you how to behave, what to say, how to act. If you have an impasse, it will kind of give you a breakthrough. So it's when you're in a situation and you need supernatural wisdom on how to proceed, that's when the word of wisdom comes. It'll also give you the ability to apply, for example, if you had a vision from God or a dream from God or an impression from God, the word of wisdom will help you know how to apply what you were shown, okay? So this is really important. One of the things, it involves knowing how to live and act rightly. It's given in the moment that leads a person to make the right decision. It has nothing to do with your IQ or your human experience. Okay, it's wisdom that you're being given, and it's supernaturally given by God, and it's not you. You can't take any credit for it. One example of this would be in Acts chapter 10 with Peter. When Peter was had gone up on the rooftops to pray, and if you remember, he was resting, and the sheet came down three times, right? And it had unclean animals on it. And the voice told him to go ahead and eat. And he was like, well, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. And so it dropped three times. And then it said, you know, what God has cleansed, don't you call common. Well, in the meantime, an angel was showing up to Cornelius. And Cornelius sends his servant to Peter's house. like a day's journey, right? He sends him to Peter's house, and he's a Gentile, so he's considered unclean. But Peter gets the revelation, the wisdom to take what he had seen and apply it, to realize the Holy Spirit was telling him to go with this Gentile to Cornelius's house. Okay, now that's totally against Jewish law. That's totally against, I mean, the eating of unclean animals, right? He relates it to these Gentiles and is able to understand what he's supposed to do, so that he goes to Cornelius' house. So in Acts chapter 10, 28, when he's at Cornelius' house, he says to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Well, that was wisdom. The wisdom of God on how to apply that dream to what was going on. What was the purpose? The purpose was God wanted to get Peter to Cornelius, to bring Cornelius and his household into the kingdom, right? So this is why God will give you supernatural wisdom. It's not just so you can look good. It's because he's got a purpose and a plan, and it's kingdom related, right? So he gives it to you for the purposes of that situation, but it's to bring about to bring out an end that will glorify and magnify him. If we go to Acts chapter 11, it says, in these days, this is Agabus, "In these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So, okay, so now Agabus tells them that there's going to be this famine, and they have the wisdom, right, to go ahead and send aid into to Judea, right? They knew of a situation, and God gives them the wisdom to prepare for what's coming. That's wisdom. That's God letting them know ahead of time, this is what you need to do. Kind of like with Joseph and the dreams, right? Okay, the next one is a word of knowledge. First Corinthians, it's also in 1 Corinthians 12:8, "To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." This I think is a really fun one. Not that they aren't all fun. I mean, working of miracles is fun, right? But this one, I really love this one. It's supernatural knowledge of facts that does not come through study, research, experience, or any human means. It's a lot of times it's knowledge that's given for a particular person or a particular situation. So this is fun when this is something that I've had the privilege of operating in. One time, you know, you're just with somebody and all of a sudden you know something about them that you wouldn't know in the natural. Randy and I were at a Ruby Tuesdays eating dinner, and this waiter came up to the table, and he just, every time he came by, I just kept feeling like he was waiting tables, but God had such a bigger plan for his life than him waiting tables. And so I just said to him, I said, "You know, I know you don't know me," I said, "but I just really feel like the Lord has impressed on me that he really has a bigger plan for your life, that not you're not just going to wait tables, but you have dreams in your heart, and they're from the Lord, and you can pursue them." And he got overwhelmed, and he said, "I just started a company designing children's clothes." And he said, "This is my passion, and I'm doing it online." And it blessed him. I said, "Well, that's the Lord. Know that he's going to bless that, and he's going to prosper that, you know, and pursue that. Know that this isn't your end." And so he felt really encouraged and exhorted, okay? He got a word from God. I didn't know that in the natural. One time, Randy and I were traveling, and we walked into a fast food place. And I used to do this a lot more because I was out a lot. Now I'm just always in my office. But we were traveling and we went into a fast food place, and there was a man behind the counter, and I just knew that he was really struggling, and the Lord was like, "I want you to talk to him and tell him that I'm with him." So I just went up to the counter, you know, you kind of look around to hope that there's not a whole lot of people around, and I reached out my hand to him and I said, "I just need you to know the Lord showed me that you're really going through a really difficult time right now, but you need to know that he is with you and he will walk with you through this and you'll get to the other side." And the man just looked at me, he goes, "You have no idea, you have no idea. You have no idea." And he was so touched, and he got all emotional, and he had to walk away. But again, that was just a way of assuring him, like, God knows you. God knows your situation. He wants to help you. He's with you. Okay, you're not alone. So this is what I mean. These are fun times. There's times too, like if people are sick, you know, you can maybe see they have a limp or whatever. I love to be able to pray for people because it gives me an opportunity to pray for what they physically are looking for, but also to give them a word. To give them a word about their future or whatever that God has for them, to prophesy. So it's an open door to be able to really encourage people and exhort people in their relationship with God. Now let's just look at a few scriptural examples. In Acts chapter 5, this is a word I really wouldn't want, but in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias came in and he had lied to the Holy Spirit, right? And so and Ananias comes walking in. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Peter didn't know that in the natural. The Holy Spirit showed him that, right? And then his wife came in a little bit later. Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. That's a word I'd rather not get. But I mean, he didn't know that in the natural. The Holy Spirit showed him that, okay? Ananias, knowing that Paul had been converted to Christ. Remember, I mean, Paul is on his way, right, to kill Christians. Let's look at Acts 9, chapter 8, verse 12. Saul rose from the ground. This is Paul. Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple. Remember, this is a disciple. It doesn't say a certain prophet, apostle, pastor, evangelist, teacher. It's a disciple. A certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. Okay, this is knowledge, right? Knowledge. And inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Naturally, I mean, Ananias starts arguing with Jesus, right? And says, are you sure, Lord? He's got papers from Jerusalem to kill all of us, right? So in the natural, his natural knowledge, his natural wisdom was like, no, that's not something I should do. But he got a word from the Lord. He got a word of knowledge. He got a word of wisdom to move forward. And what for what purpose? To break the scales off Paul's eyes. You know, I love this about the Lord is he could have, I mean, he's God. He could have taken, he put the scales there. He could have taken them off, right? But he wants us to co-labor with him. He wants us to participate. He wants us to be a part. And so he allowed Ananias to have the privilege of going and praying for Paul. And look what happens to Paul. He becomes the greatest apostle, right? God wants us to be a part of what he's doing. And he uses these gifts to operate through us for his purposes. And we get the fun and thrill of being a part of this. And I know, I mean, it's not that when I get these words, I'm like, oh yes, because I'm like, oh no, what are they gonna think? And are there any people around? And how can I do this inconspicuously? Right? But I've never regretted giving someone a word. I've never regretted it. Never regretted it. Because I see what it does. There was one time Randy and I were walking into a hotel, and we were walking by the laundry room, like the hotel laundry room. And there was an older man in there who was working. And I walked by, and the Lord said, I have a word for him. And I was like, no, 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 no. And I went up in our hotel room, and I sit down in my chair, and I start taking my shoes off, and I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I know the Lord has a word for him. So I said to Randy, I'm like, okay, do you want to go down with me? He's like, sure. So I go back down the elevator, go back, and I walk into the laundry room. And you're almost like, oh, Lord, maybe he won't be there, right? This is all the stuff the devil tries to do to get you to stop, right? Well, and you're a natural man. Well, we walked in there, and he was an Indian man, like, you know, from India, and he didn't know much English. And so it was like, well, now what am I going to do? So we just went over to him, and I held his hands, and I just said to him, I just want you to know God loves you. God loves you. And he started weeping and weeping and weeping. And Randy started ministering to him. And all we knew to say to him was, God loves you. And he's weeping. And he would walk away. He'd go to the sink. He'd dry himself, clean up. And he'd come back to us. And we'd start telling, God loves you. He'd just start weeping and weeping and weeping. you know, I don't know what God did, but I just knew that we did what God told us to do, right? And the Holy Spirit is the one who does the rest. But this is the privilege we all have as believers to impact a life for Christ. This is why we have an intimate relationship with Lord. It's not just so that we can have this great relationship. It's not just for us. It's not just for us. He wants us to know how to hear his voice so that we can touch the world with who he is, demonstrate him in an accurate way, right? And let people know how valuable they are to him. Another example of this is Acts 14, 9 and 10. So Paul's preaching, and this is in Acts. So Luke is writing it, and he's talking about a time when he was with Paul. So he says, this man, he's talking about a man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. So what did Paul get? He got a word of knowledge from God, that man had enough faith to be healed of his lameness. Okay. And because of, why did God show him that? Because God wanted to heal the man. So it's not like he gives you this word of knowledge so you can be like, oh, look at me. No, he has a purpose in mind. This happens. So word of knowledge is really powerful, especially in evangelism, because people who are really good at this can sit on an airplane and read the mail of the person sitting next to them in a good way and touch them. Like, you know, we had a homeless person we ministered to one time. His mother had died of cancer, and the Lord spoke to me and said, he believes I did that. So I ministered to him that God didn't give your mother cancer so she would die, and it impacted his life. So the same thing, like you can be sitting next to someone on an airplane and read like something that happened, maybe traumatic to them, that has put a wall up between them and the relationship with the Lord. And you can, you have to have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You have to do this in love, right? But you can do this in love, and you can crack through that barrier so that they can really receive the love of Christ. And you can change a person's entire trajectory of their life. This happens over and over and over again. This is what we're called to. This is what we are all called to. It's a powerful, powerful gift. The other thing is for healing is you can be going out and all of a sudden you'll get a pain in your knee. And you don't have pains in your knee. What's going on? Why do I have a pain in my knee? It's because you're going to meet someone that day that has pain in their knee and God wants to heal it. So he can give you a word of knowledge in your body. If you all of a sudden have a symptom come on you, like that's not normal for you, be aware that God may be the Lord saying, listen, there's someone who has an injured shoulder, and you're going to meet them today, and I want you to pray for them so that you can say, I have an injured shoulder. No, because he wants to heal that shoulder. So he's telling you that he can give you a word of knowledge in your body to prepare so that you can pray for people. And the last one is discernment of spirits. And this is in 1 Corinthians 12:10. It says, to another discerning of spirits. So this is a revelation from the Holy Spirit about the source of a particular thought, action, or word, whether it's demonic, whether it's Holy Spirit, or whether it's just the human spirit. This is one thing that we always need to use, like if a prophetic word comes forth, we always want to listen, like, is that the Holy Spirit? Does it line up with Scripture? Okay, is someone prophesying from the Holy Spirit? Are they prophesying out of their own desires? So we need to be discerning about that. You know, the thing about this is you have to be very careful. I've seen people get an understanding of discernment of spirits and use it in a way that is very hurtful to people. And that's, we are called to see each other after the Spirit, not the flesh. Okay, and we're not here to start looking at people trying to evaluate what demonic spirit might be operating in their life. Okay, that is not that's not what we're called to. But we just need to be aware that the Holy Spirit can make us aware of something that's going on. Now, the big thing about this is you need to use wisdom. You need to, when the Lord shows you something, you need to go to him to ask him how he wants you to handle that. Sometimes it's just praying. Sometimes it's just being aware. Look at this. Let's go to Acts chapter 16 with Paul. It says, Acts 16:16. It happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now, it's very interesting because what she was proclaiming is these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. That's true. That's true. But it was a demonic spirit behind it. And that's like, have you ever had people say the right thing and you just know it's not right? You're saying the right words, but you're like, yeah, that's not right. Like, that's discernment. Like, you have to have discernment. People can say the right things, but there's the wrong spirit behind it. It can be demonic. It can be flesh. It can be manipulation. Like, you have to have discernment about things. Again, this isn't to cause doubt, but it's just for you to be aware that the Holy Spirit can help you to discern things. It'll help you to discern the motives behind people's actions as well. Again, not for us to all of a sudden start inquiring of everybody, but it's just for us to be aware, you know, when you're out in the world and people say things, you can just get a check in your spirit like, yeah, that's not right. You need to trust that, right? That's the Holy Spirit who can show you that. So we must have discernment and sensitivity, or you can make really big mistakes and hurt people. So again, this is a gift that needs to be used with all these gifts. You know, right after Paul talks 1 Corinthians 12 on all the gifts, the very next thing he goes to is 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love. Like, you can operate in all the gifts, but if you don't have love, you are a clanging cymbal. You are doing nothing. So everything must come from a pure heart of love of God, the love of God, and the love of God for those people. And you need to see people, you know, even when Paul, I don't know why Paul waited 3 days to say this to her, to this woman, but one of the things is I wonder if, first of all, maybe he waited the 3 days to give her an opportunity to build trust in him so that when he took authority over it, he didn't hurt her. Like, if he had done it on the first day, she may not, in her natural self, may not have had enough trust in him to, and it may have hurt her. So he may have waited. Maybe he was waiting until hoping that she would come to Christ in that time and the thing would leave on its own. Maybe she was waiting for her to repent. I don't know. But he waited a few days before he did that. Okay, it's not that he didn't discern it in the beginning, but he waited a few days before he did it. I believe that that's because the Lord told him, and there was something that happened during that time period that was important. And so it's the same thing for us. Just because God shows you something doesn't mean we take immediate action on it. We need his wisdom on in all things so that we can get his results that he wants without hurting people. So just end with this. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, you can grow in these giftings, and you can have some that you operate in more than others, okay? So, but you need to understand that every single one of them can work through you. That you're eligible for all. Some people will kind of, like for me, like I like word of knowledge and word of wisdom and prophetic. That's more that where I tend to work in that lane, okay? That just is something that's more familiar to me. So there's people who will be more familiar. That's the way the Holy Spirit tends to operate through them. But it doesn't mean you can't operate in all the others. Because if you're in a situation where God needs a gift of healing to operate, he'll operate through you if you're willing. If he needs a supernatural miracle and you're there and you're willing, he'll operate through you, okay? Because we're as believers, we can all do that. So I'm going to give you some homework this week. Just seek the Lord. Ask him for a word of knowledge. Go when you go to a grocery store, you know, you can ask him for a word of knowledge for the woman or the man behind the cashier, who's the cashier. If you go to a restaurant, you can ask the Lord for something. And you know what? The good thing about this is, you know, doctors practice all the time. We can practice too. And they make a lot of mistakes. So, you know, if you step out and you get a pain in your knee and you step out and say to someone, you know, do you have a problem with your knee? No, my knee's fine. Oh, okay. Well, I'm just a Christian, you know, trying to practice. Do you have a sister named Sue? You know, because the Lord would say, this person has a sister named Sue. Well, you just ask. And if you don't, well, you know what? I'm just practicing. I'm just learning how to hear God. It's okay to make mistakes. But if we don't step out, we'll never learn how to operate in this. And we are all called to this. This is part of what he's given us, the privilege of representing him in using these gifts, okay? So Lord, just thank you so much for every heart that's here. I thank you, Lord, just for the beautiful worship that we had this morning. And I thank you, Lord, that you operate, you Holy Spirit are here to operate through every single one of us. Lord, we just yield ourselves to you as we learn how to listen to your voice, to demonstrate who you are, to bring people into the kingdom, because we're here for your purposes. We just love you, Lord. We honor you. We glorify you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.